This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
In the book of John, in chapter 3 and verse 8, it says that the wind blows wherever it pleases. To hear its sound, you hear its sound, but you cannot tell from where it comes or where it is going. So it is everyone born from the Spirit. And this morning, just as we've been in the presence of God here today, God is very much speaking about the wind of His Spirit, blowing through this place, blowing through our lives, sometimes a storm, sometimes a quiet wind, but the Spirit of God is moving amongst us this morning, and we've heard that today. And I really wanted to share this morning about the Holy Spirit particularly, and about the wind of His Spirit specifically, because I think that God is really wanting to minister to some of us this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we just come before You in the name of Jesus today, Lord, and we take in our hands Your Word, Lord God, Your Bible, Your book, Your truth. Lord, it is a lamp unto our feet. It is seed for the sower. It is bread for the eater. It is a manifestation and the reality of the person of Jesus Christ in our midst. Your Word is life, and it is whole, and it is healing, and it is divine. Hallelujah. So, Father, as we share Your Word this morning, I pray that the Spirit that wrote this Word would be alive and active in our hearts this morning to accomplish the purpose for which You sent Your Word today. And we pray that in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, this is a funny old Mission Sunday, sort of being the second week of the month. And we are having a missions lunch today as well. We haven't had that for a long, long time. We're trying to raise money to complete the stag program, which has been going now for a couple of years. The first two, the cows, went pretty quickly. And what was the other one? The fence. That was the first one, actually. That came up pretty quickly. So the cows and the fence. But the four-wheel drive has really bogged down. But we're very close to getting it winched out, so to speak, if I can destroy yet another metaphor. We're about, I think, can I have that slide now, please? Yeah. This really kind of interrupts with what I feel the Spirit is saying to the church this morning, but we'll just get through this because it's important. You can see there $26,000.63 and a target goal of $33,000. So we're very, very close. We're very, very close. And it's really exciting because once this four-wheel drive is knocked over, we've got some exciting programs that we want to undertake in Bedratchalem. That this is a foundation. It's a foundation for what's going to lie ahead, and it's really exciting what's happening in there. I don't know if you've read in your newsletter, just the latest letter from Anand Paul, but I spoke to him the other night, and he's in a really good place at the moment. There's lots of persecution, lots of trouble, lots of difficulties facing him. And how many know that's a good place to be? I don't see that hand. But truly it is, because, you know, God is at work, and the Spirit of God is at work in the nation of India. And I'm so happy that Tim Stebbing, who's gone out to the Children's Church, I'm so happy that Tim Stebbing is going to accompany me and look after me in India this year. That's really exciting, and great to see a younger person coming along. And just in talking with Tim, he's got some fantastic ideas and thoughts and vision for Bedratchalem Children's Home and the orphanage. I hope they all come to fruition, and I hope that he has a fantastic time. But I really want you to pray for Tim and Lee and the children, particularly while they're gone, and for provision for them as well, and protection over them as well. That will just be a tremendous and life-changing trip for Tim. And it's not too late if anyone else would like to come. We hope to have a four-wheel drive to pick us up at the airport. and that can carry 11 people. So there's plenty of room if you would like to come along. Hallelujah. Can we turn to the book of Acts, please? And I want to go to chapter 27. You know, just chapter 27 at this stage. Don't get ahead of me. The Bible is full of really interesting stories. Amen. Really fascinating and wonderful stories. And, you know, they're not just stories. They're not just depictions of something that occurred so many years ago. But they're actually spiritual food for us. You know, as we read these stories, God wants to minister something spiritual into our lives. And in Acts 27, it's a fantastic depiction of Paul's missionary journey to Rome, as it were. You know, when Dr. Luke wrote this chapter, he was meticulous in his description of the journey on the sea, of the winds, and everything else that took place there. And I believe it's for a purpose. I believe that Dr. Luke, can I call him that, had a purpose for us in this particular chapter. You know, Paul was about 27 years into his ministry by this stage. You know, obviously a seasoned and a veteran of the gospel campaign, but yet he had an unfulfilled desire in his life, and that was to get to Rome. He was a Roman citizen, and he wanted to go to Rome and proclaim the gospel right in the heart of that particular kingdom of the Roman Empire. It took him 27 years before he could get there, and the circumstance by which he got there was not what he expected at all. He didn't expect to go there as a prisoner, but as a free man that he could freely proclaim. But we know that when he got to Rome, that God used him mightily, in chains, in captivity, to witness the gospel to his captors and to those people around about him, and he just rejoiced in what God was doing. But sometimes what we expect is not what God gives us. Hallelujah. Sometimes God wants us to go through a few wind situations. Hallelujah. And as we read in chapter 27, I would love to read the whole chapter, but I won't. I'll read part of it. When it was decided that we would sail for Italy, Paul and some other prisoners were handed over to a centurion named Julius, who belonged to the Imperial Regiment. We boarded the ship from Adramidium, about to sail for ports along the coast of the province of Asia, and we put out to sea. Aristarchus, a Macedonian from Thessalonica, was with us. The next day, we landed in Sidon, and Julius, in kindness to Paul, allowed him to go to his friends so that they might provide for his needs. From there, we put out to sea again and passed by to the lee of Cyprus because the winds were against us. If you're reading a King James Bible, you'll probably have the word that the winds were contrary. Maybe the New King James says contrary as well. It's a far better word than the winds were against us, because a contrary wind, it has a picture of winds that are going in several directions all at once. So we read on. When we had sailed across the open sea off the coast of Cilicia and Pamphylia, we landed at Myra in Lycia. There the centurion found an Alexandrian ship sailing for Italy and put us on board. We made slow headway for many days and had difficulty arriving off Cnidus when the wind did not allow us to hold our course. Again, I think the word there is a little wind or a small wind. You have? No, in the King James, I think it says a small wind, but either way, it's a wind that didn't allow them to sail as they had hoped to sail. Down to verse 9. Much time had been lost and sailing had already become dangerous. So they'd gone from a quiet wind into a season where the weather was changing fairly rapidly and it was becoming quite a stormy season. And Paul had a prophecy. He said, "Man, I can see that our voyage is going to be disastrous and bring great loss to the ship and cargo and to our own lives also." But the centurion, instead of listening to what Paul said, followed the advice of the pilot and the owner of the ship. Since the harbour was unsuitable to winter in, the majority decided that we should sail on. Sometimes majority decisions are not the best. We just had an election, amen, okay, and the majority had the right to choose, and that's what democracy is all about. But don't you think that majority decisions have been fraught in the past? Sometimes it's not the best way to go. We live in an age where the majority has the say. You know, if the majority of people want gay marriage, we have gay marriage. If the majority of people want this, we do this. The majority rules. But it's not always the right way to go. Sometimes we need to listen to the prophetic word of God. Hallelujah. They sailed on, hoping to reach Phoenix and winter there. This was a harbour in Crete, facing both southwest and northwest. Verse 13, then a gentle south wind began to blow. They thought that they had obtained what they wanted, so they weighed anchor and sailed along the shore of Crete. Before very long, a wind of hurricane force came. There's the fourth wind, called the northeaster. And it swept down from the island. The ship was caught by the storm and could not head into the wind, so they gave way to it and were driven along. As we pass to the lee, and so it goes on, and we know that the outcome up in verse 27, that the ship was smashed, it was smashed to pieces, and everybody had to go overboard, and they were clinging to bits of wood and what have you to try and save, hang on desperately for their own lives, and unlike what Paul had prophesied, not a life was lost, everybody was saved, and it was just a tremendous thing. But I want to just have a look at these particular winds. You know, winds are agents of change. The wind of the Holy Spirit, when he blows through us, it's an agent of change. Sometimes we can have the contrary wind, the first wind that we meet in chapter 27. It's a wind that does not allow us to proceed in the direction that we were going. I don't know if anyone has experienced that in life. You think you're wanting to head in a particular direction, but some force, some thing is not allowing you to do that. Anyone experienced that? Some of you have. You know, it's a contrary wind. Sometimes the Holy Spirit needs to speak to us. He needs to get into our lives. You know, he wants us to fulfill his plans and his purposes, and we can sometimes lose sight of what the Holy Spirit is actually doing in our life. It's a contrary wind. We think that this is what we want. We think that this is where we need to be going, but the Holy Spirit has brought us to this place just to change our direction, just to get us onto another ship. Hallelujah. Who's ready to hop onto another ship this morning, if that's you today? That's a contrary wind. It's time to change ship. The next wind we read about in verse 7 or 8. I've really got to get new glasses, I tell you, or get healed, one or the other. Praise God. And that's the little wind, when the wind did not allow us to hold course. This is, actually, I've mixed this up. The first wind, the contrary wind, is a wind that is against us. The second wind is a wind that does not allow us to hold our set course. Sometimes we need to be told that we are on the wrong track. It may look good, it may look great, but it could be the wrong track that God has for us. I remember, and it was really, really difficult once, speaking to a pastor in India. And he had he was a son of a pastor, and he had been born into pastorship. So he thought that he would simply inherit the crown of his dad and become a pastor. And so he was operating as a pastor, but as I met him and saw him and learnt more about him, I could see that he was not a pastor. That was not his gift or calling. But he had just simply inherited. He was just the son that took the mantle from the father. And it was very difficult for me to try and explain that it may not be what God has in mind for him. Maybe God's got something else for him. He rejected that, but he also thought a lot about it. And I think several days later he came to me and he said, "What else can I do?" And I said, "Well, that's really between you and the Holy Spirit. Between you and the Holy Spirit." The same situation once occurred with Anand Paul as well, is about this changing of direction. And he had a vision that all orphans should be evangelists, that we're raising the orphans to be evangelists, which is a great vision, a really noble, fantastic vision. I had to say to him, well, what about if God has another plan for some of them? Oh, no, brother. They are going to be evangelists. Well, maybe God wants one to be a prime minister, a Christian prime minister in India. Maybe there's another plan. And so sometimes we have to take a step back and try and develop another spirit-led perspective on what God's doing in our lives. The third wind that we see is the most dangerous wind of all. And in verse 13, it's called the gentle south wind. This is the beautiful wind. David, I don't know whether you've experienced that kind of wind when you've been sailing. It's a good strength, but the sea's still calm, and you're just gliding through the water, and you're comfortable and relaxed, and you don't have to work hard on the ropes and on the sails to hold it all together. You're just cruising. It's the gentle south wind. And that's kind of what we all want in life, isn't it? We want to just cruise in this gentle south wind. We relax. We just take it easy. We're just gliding along. But it's a dangerous wind. And you know why it's dangerous? Because we get comfortable. Who's comfortable this morning? If you get comfortable in the spirit, look out. Look out. There is something will be lying ahead. It's good to be stirred in the Holy Ghost at all times and be uncomfortable about where we're at, about the circumstances of our life, about the situation of the world that we live in. We should be uncomfortable about that, not accepting and breezing and gliding along. And, oh, it's just lovely, you know, it's just lovely that all the laws are being changed. It's just lovely that these people are ruining their lives. It's fantastic. No, we should be uncomfortable about it. A Christian should be an uncomfortable human being. Hallelujah. I don't hear one amen about that. I know this is hard medicine. I know that, you know, we deserve to be comfortable people because our sins have been paid for and, you know, we're doing the right thing. So we deserve to relax a little bit. But look out if you do, is all I'm saying. When they relax in their gentle south wind and they saw, well, this is beautiful, we're just going to glide right on through. The majority rules, this is just what we wanted. We were right. The prophetic word you heard was wrong. Look out. Because as soon as they relaxed into that position, they hit the tempestuous storm. Hallelujah. The tempestuous storm. That's the strong storm. Actually, it's a hurricane. Can you imagine a boat in a hurricane? It doesn't have much chance. It gets tossed around. It gets spun around, it gets lifted up and dropped down, it bangs against the waves. It is a terrible place to be. It gets smashed, it gets broken. And when they found themselves in this hurricane, Paul, wise man, he prayed. Hallelujah. But then they had to take some affirmative action. They had to do something that would help their situation. And what they did was begin to jettison everything from that boat that was no longer required. All of us know that when we get into a tough or difficult circumstances that our priorities change a little bit. Huh? Suddenly it's not so important if there's a block of chocolate in the bottom drawer. Never is in my house. I'm always last to get to it. Suddenly it's not so important if we're wanting to buy a new car or wanting to go on a holiday. Suddenly just pure survival becomes the absolute tantamount focus of our attention because we're in the tempestuous storm. And church, it's a good place to be. I know it's scary, but if we can be objective enough to see what Jesus is doing, we sung those words today. Christ, my cornerstone. That's why we end up in the tempestuous storm, is to get our feet planted firmly upon our cornerstone again. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, spoke to the storm, silenced the storm, and went back to sleep again. Hallelujah. It's a tempestuous storm. And I know that some of us today are right in that place. And I want this word to encourage you this morning that God has a purpose for having you there. God has a purpose for you being there. The wind of God's Spirit is ministering to us today. No matter where we are, no matter what wind we're in, whether it's the little wind, the gentle wind, or the contrary wind, or the tempestuous wind, God is speaking to us because the wind of the Spirit is a wind of change. And God, although He does not change, is always changing us from glory to glory. And the greatest enemy to change from glory to glory is to be in a comfort zone. To be comfortable with where we're at, with what we're doing, with the circumstances of our life. It's dangerous. Because as soon as we enter that place, you can bet for sure that there is a tempestuous storm just around the corner. Praise God. You happy this morning? Good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, storms of life often bowl people over. They can be the single strongest event in someone's life. It can change their lives completely. We read of people in the newspaper who experience the most extraordinary problems and difficulties. And quite often the outcome is never how they would expect it or want it to be. The world is littered with people that have been through the storms and have not recovered. Isn't it? It's a very dangerous thing. For the Christian as well, many Christians have been through storms. And in the midst of the storm, they've had to say, "Where is God? Where is God?" And that at that point, when we lose our focus, when we lose our faith, when we think that we're more important than He is, we're in a deadly place. We're in a desperate place. But if we can ride the storm, if we can hold on to what we know in our heart to be true, the Word of God, the seed of His Word in our heart, then we can ride the most difficult of storms and come out victorious on the other side. Paul's purpose was to preach the gospel. That was the thing that was on his heart to do. It took him 27 years thereabouts for him to get to Rome, and he got there in circumstances that he really did not expect to be in. I'm sure when he had the vision for Rome, he saw himself as a free man and conducting great campaigns and doing all these wonderful things that he's done before. He probably didn't expect to find himself in chains. He probably didn't expect that he would be taken there as a prisoner on a boat. He probably didn't expect that that boat would smash up in the middle of the ocean, that he would be shipwrecked, Malta. Probably didn't expect to light a fire and be bitten by a snake. He probably didn't expect that these events would take place in his life, but they did. They did, and they did for a purpose, because God showed himself to be the master of his destiny. And God is the master of your destiny and my destiny today, no matter what situation we find ourselves in. Our cornerstone, Jesus Christ, will master the storm of our life if we hold firm to Him. It's no good holding firm to any other authority. The only authority which stands is Jesus. I know that we live in a world that's inhabited with some wonderful things, the tremendous things that science are doing and all of that, tremendous advances. But, you know, for every advance, there seems to be a couple of steps backwards. Have you noticed that regarding this modern age we live in? They can do all these wonderful things, but there's always this price to pay for it. Not with Jesus. Not with Jesus, because He's paid the price for us. He will do wonderful things in our life because He's paid the price for us. When we go through the storm, Jesus has paid the price for us. Hold fast Hold fast to what Jesus has done in your life. If you're born again, if you're born of the Spirit, the wind of the Spirit is blowing through you, hold fast to that, because He will direct you. He will take you through the course of your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Karen, are you okay? Is it possible we could sing that song again? Okay. I know. But it's ministering to us today, and hopefully it's ministering with you as well. There are people in this congregation that are going through storms and difficulties. You know, it's really interesting, just with Konya's knee. She broke it in three places and tore two bits. I don't know what they were, meniscus and tendon or something like that. I was talking to Mercy Grace, Ananda Paul's wife, and I told her, how is Sister Konya? Well, she's broken her leg, broken her knee. Oh, brother. Well, Mercy Grace became indignant at that. Just straight away indignant. Brother, in our church, broken legs get healed. She says, I'm calling the church to prayer and fasting immediately. 24 hours of prayer and fasting. When Konya woke up in the morning, she could move her leg. Hallelujah. This is an indignation, a righteous indignation of the storms that come upon our life. And the cornerstone, Jesus, is there to lift us out of the storm and to place our feet upon the rock of His salvation this morning. Because He has a purpose for every one of us. He wants to take us to our destiny. He wants to take us to our Rome. And whether we get there with broken legs and broken bones and smashed boats or anything else, God will prevail if we remain on the cornerstone that is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Nombol Christian Fellowship.